How carefully do you read your utility bills? Probably in the old days, before deregulation, you just glanced at the amount charged and paid it. That's what I used to do. Now, if you're like me, you look more closely and at least try to understand. Am I right? You can learn a lot in that complicated maze of figures about kilowatt hours, different tariff rating periods, etc. I'm beginning a series of messages from the General Letter of James today. Often we tend to skip past the introductory verse of letters like this one, not because the greetings are complicated, but thinking there's nothing much in the greetings. But there's lots to learn here. So we're looking at verse 1 by itself today. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings. We learn firstly about the writer, James. James, the half-brother of the Lord Jesus, as Matthew informs us, 13 verse 55, James, who perhaps joined in when members of Jesus' human family urged him to display his power and talent at the Feast of Tabernacles in Jerusalem to make maximum popular impact, John chapter 7. This James was transformed by the power of the resurrection of the Saviour and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And it is this James who is now writing to the followers of Jesus as a leader of the church in Jerusalem, with the aim of encouraging them as they are scattered all over the place. As he writes, he is conscious of his status before God. James, a servant of God. Yes, James, like every Christian believer, identified himself as a minister, a servant of God. Now, you may immediately think, Stefan, that's your role to be a minister. It isn't mine. I'm an ordinary believer. Well, yes, in the formally accepted sense of the word, I am a minister, but each Christian serves the Lord in their own individual and distinct way as servants or ministers. You too are a minister. This is a truly humble outlook on life, isn't it? To see it as servants for a self, not a self-promotion or any other kind of thing. Now, promotion may come, but Christians' fundamental understanding of what life is about is service. Aiming your focus away from self, from others, and pointing to Jesus. For Christians, this does not mean that we are remote from our Heavenly Father, nor should we think of ourselves as menials who don't matter. God's servants are dignified, privileged people. I'm sure James had heard Jesus' words. I've not called you servants, but friends, because a servant does not know what his master is doing. He has entrusted to us a knowledge of his plans and purposes for the world, as we shall see in a minute or two. Whilst conscious of his status before God, James is also, secondly, honoured to identify with the Lord Jesus Christ. He's a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. After Pentecost, we're told that James not only served as a leader in the church of Jerusalem, Galatians 2 verse 9, being described as a pillar, but also was later martyred for the faith. Acts 12:1-4. He was willing to identify publicly as a follower of Jesus. Now, neither you nor I have the exact same responsibility which James had in founding the church. However, as you live before the Lord, do you think of yourself as his direct servant? Can you say, ladies, I am the handmaid of the Lord? How dignified is it to think of yourself like that? It's what we all are, you know, his servants. Are we available to wait on his direction? Are we ready to be identified with the Lord Jesus publicly? Have you ever said to another person, you know, I belong to Jesus? It seems that we comfortably off Christians are so easily embarrassed about our blessed Lord, whereas those who've most to fear from identifying with him in the world seem most eager to testify to him. It's one thing to affirm, I believe in God. It's something else to say, I'm trusting in and belonging to Jesus. James will address a whole range of issues facing his readers in this letter. Who are they? In the second place, then, having spent time thinking about James, the author, the writer, we now look at the readers. The 12 tribes scattered among the nations. It's not a new thing to say, but God is an outgoing, outreaching being. That's why he created the universe in general and the world in particular in the first place. James is writing to Christians, and of course, like him, many of them were physically and culturally Jewish, but who had come to see Jesus as Messiah. He uses the familiar Old Testament description of the 12 tribes scattered, deliberately and literally, because this had happened, and the Lord was using it to spread the news about Jesus to the known world. And rapidly, the gospel was spreading because of it. The Old Testament ideal was that God chose one family, which became one nation, to be a light to the nations. They were to dwell in one geographical place and be blessed there. We read of it in Deuteronomy 28. Should they disobey, which they did, they would be scattered, which happened. Since Jesus came, God's broadening river of grace, his purpose of gathering Gentiles and Jews together into Jesus' fold, where there would be one flock and one shepherd, is proceeding. The Israel of God, as Paul termed the church in Galatians 6, verse 16, is now being completed throughout the world. Now, his one nation is positively affecting all nations with his revealed news of salvation in Christ. Certainly, as was the case with the Old Testament people, we do have a tendency to mingle with and be compromised by the people of the world and allow their thinking and behavior to dominate us. However, God's people of that first generation of the New Testament church dispersed according to God's plan into all the world. And this would have brought encouragement to those who felt traumatized by the rejection from fellow Jews and Gentiles to realize that it was achieving God's gospel purpose. We in our day are to, first of all, sow his word by teaching and living, broadcasting the gospel. As Paul teaches the Galatians, the foundational truth of the gospel, which the believers of his day, indeed any believers, must hold on to, is that it is the sacrificial death of Jesus, as seen on the cross, which saves sinners. No circumcision or any other ritual can achieve this salvation. Otherwise, Jesus died for nothing. Believers, as scattered, were to respond supportively to those leaders who were teaching them the truth of the Jesus. And James will say more about this later. So what are we doing as individuals to sow God's word in the world? Praying for missionaries and leaders? Please keep praying for me as I have opportunities. Giving to the work of mission through our own denomination or to other Christian agencies. God's way of gathering all those who are to be saved is by scattering his people everywhere in the world so that they can join in the harvest. This is now not a sign of his displeasure, as it was for the Old Testament Israelites, but a means of the blessing of the world. When seed is sown or scattered, it is intended that it lead to growth. So, as we sow his word, we also grow his church, Christ's body by discipling. God's people from all nations now comprise Israel, the holy nation, who, as a prince, has power with God. Jesus has promised that to him belongs all authority in heaven and on earth, given by the Father. And so his people can venture into the world to disciple people. It's something which advances Jesus' purpose and is pleasing to God. To take away. First, to consider myself humble, looking to Christ as my Lord. What a privilege. Secondly, to be included in the triumphant worldwide task of delivering the holy news, the good news of the gospel. What a privilege.